And good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry KB, and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Tuesday, February the 19th, 2019, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are at Chapter 1, Page 9, Bill's Story. We're going to be reading the sixth paragraph, beginning with, "But he did no ranting." And we're going to read that one paragraph only through where it says, "It worked." Today's readers are Martha S. for the 12 steps, Stephanie L. for the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Wendy B., Eileen M., and Cindy D. Our newcomer greeter today is Melanie C. The share ID for yesterday's Monday, February 18th, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,563. That's 12563. And the share ID for this morning's Tuesday, February 19th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,566. That's 12566. The OA pre-emblem. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Martha S. to read the 12 steps. Martha?
Good morning. This is Martha S., compulsive overeater in upstate New York. These are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Step 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
And thank you, Martha. And now Stephanie L. will read our 12 traditions of OA. Stephanie?
Good morning, everyone. It's Stephanie L., and I'm a compulsive overeater in Southern California. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Pass.
Thank you, Stephanie L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us.
Ma'am, I'll be your tips. Nobody cares.
Press *1 to unmute. Once you have done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press *1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted.
Boom. How big
are
we?
We resume our study on the Big Book on page 9, paragraph 6, beginning with, but he did no ranting, and then ending with, it worked. And now will Wendy B. please read our text. Wendy?
Yeah, hi, this is Wendy B., recovered in Arizona. But he did no ranting. In a matter-of-fact way, he told how two men had appeared in court persuading the judge to suspend his commitment. They had told of a simple religious idea and a practical program of action. That was 2 months ago, and the result was self-evident. It worked. And so, he did no ranting. You know, he wasn't self-righteous, preaching with frothy emotional appeal. He was calm, you know, no pressure or trying to persuade. You know, and I have to take that approach, you know, that I don't know what is best for you. You know, I'm just sharing what worked for me and offering you a choice, a way out if you want it. And as addicts, you know, we resist being told what to do. You know, the choice and the action needs to be our decision. And where it said in a matter of fact way, he told how, and he just told a story, you know, and I'm to share my experience with others, and they're either attracted to it or they're not, you know, and the results are in God's hands. And they told of a simple religious idea and a practical program of action. And on the earlier meeting, you know, it was shared that the simple religious idea is the three pertinent ideas on page 60, you know, the ABCs. A is that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. And C, that God could and would if he were sought. And the steps are practical. You know, they bring sanity to my insane, diseased thinking. And it's action. I have to do the work to get the results. And then where it said the result was self-evident, it worked, and for it to be self-evident, I need to look recovered. You know, I need to appear different. I need to act different. I need to have this transformation, you know, work change me. You know, that it has to change my motivations and my thinking. And I need to surrender every day to God and his work within me. You know, this is not good works. You know, I can manifest on my own willpower. You know, this is God working through me and drawing others to want this change. And that's all I have. Thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Wendy B. So, again, we're on in the Bill's story, chapter 1, And we're on page 9, the 6th paragraph, but he did no ranting through it, one paragraph only, and it worked. So who would like to share on the meeting this morning? And I would ask that people who haven't shared in a couple of days to wait their turn till we can let's hear some new voices today. Who would like to begin sharing?
Jackie H.
Jackie H.
Martha S.
Martha S.
Freya H.
I'm sorry?
Freya H.
Freya. Freya H.
Carrie S.
Is that Carrie?
Yes.
Carrie. S is in Sam?
Thank you.
Okay, Carrie, thank you. And I can take two more. Have two more spots here.
Eileen M.
I'm sorry?
Eileen M.
Eileen? And one more.
Kathy Jo P.
Kathy Jo P. Okay. All right. So I have Jackie H., Martha S., Freya H., Carrie S., Eileen M., Kathy Jo. Jackie, go ahead, and you'll be followed up by Martha S.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Jackie H. recovered in Colorado. Poor day. I'm so grateful. Of course, the first thing that stuck out is that he did no ranting. My personality, Unleashed, is invited to, I'm invited to convince, and I'm invited to convince somebody that I know what's best for them because it worked for me, right? And so this is a wonderful reminder that I don't have to do that anymore. I get to be a quiet witness, I guess, if you want to call it that. And if someone's in front of me wanting to know something, I can tell them what worked for me. And I love the ABCs because that was mentioned earlier. That these steps were just, this was my wonderful, wonderful gold mine. To have these steps, this is such a design for living. And I'm grateful, and I'm recovered today. I get to live here, a recovered woman, and people get to see how different I am. So I don't have to say anything because they see such a difference, and I'm so grateful for that. And then I get a chance too. People will ask, and so I get a chance then to tell them what worked for me. And the other thing, this would trip me up at first. It was a simple religious idea. This book, you know, this was a book written by white men who were they were Christian white men, and so that tripped me up a little bit. But later on, we'll find out that Eddie suggests that this is not a religious program. This is a spiritual program, and that people can choose the God of their own understanding. And oh my, how that it is inclusive. And that's what kept me here, was that I did get to. And then my idea of God, my idea of spirit has evolved over time. And today I get to say in my little spirit, I am sustained. I am carried here by my higher power every day, each day. And so I think that's all I have to say because I feel like I'm ranting now. So anyway, have a good day, all.
Thank you, Jackie H. And Martha S., you're followed up by Freya H. Martha?
Yes, thank you for your service. This is Martha S., recovering compulsive overeater in upstate New York. So I'm on step 10 after a relapse in October, and I really appreciate the sentence that says, "That was 2 months ago, and the result was self-evident." So it is possible to work through the steps. This is my second time formally through the steps in the Big Book. It is possible to do it just in a matter of a couple months. In my case, about 3 months here, because step 9 took a little longer than we thought it might. But I appreciate that there are several places in the Big Book where they talk about how long it might take to go through this process. It doesn't have to take months and months or years. Also, I learned from others that Ebby talks about, you know, I got religion and it was a simple religious idea that these two men told him about, but they were part of the Oxford group. And so they did describe it as religious, but here in our program, it's just a, we can choose, as has been shared, I can choose a higher power of my own understanding. And that was really important to me coming in. Originally, 5 years ago, as an agnostic, I could come up with my own conception of my higher power in step two, and however inadequate, as the Big Book says. And then that was just a good place to start from. And the other thing that stood out was the practical program of action. I really can't change myself, or I would have done it years ago, but I can do the work of the steps and use the tools. And I also like that the two men appeared in court to help Ebby. So I look forward to being more helpful and having the opportunity in recovery to be helpful and kind like these two men were, and to take action that will help others. Thank you. I'll pass.
And thank you, Martha. And Freya H., you're up, followed by Carrie S. Freya?
Good morning. This is Freya H., compulsive eater bulimic in Colorado. Thank you for the opportunity to share. And the thing that really, really jumped out at me and inspired me to want to speak up was just that the result was self-evident. That, and it got me thinking about, you know, when I see recovery in other people, it's definitely not because they're ranting, and it is because they have something inexplicable that I want for myself, which is peace of mind. You know, they have a sense of peace and, you know, connection with themselves, with their higher power, with the world, with their fellows. And there's something about that is incredibly attractive. And my experience with people asking, you know, people have reflected that to me at different points. You know, when people come and ask if I, you know, if they're attracted to something that I say, it's not usually when I'm trying to sell or push anything, because that's an incredibly, you know, self-centered and self-will frame of mind. But it's just when I'm sharing my experience, and especially when I'm sharing my vulnerabilities, that I seem to, you know, be able to be of most service. You know, when I feel most connected, and when that opens me up to connect with other people. And to go a little bit further with that, my understanding and my experience of the, you know, the interchange that happens through this program, particularly with having defects removed and having the compulsion be lifted, it happens when I'm not focused on it. It happens when I'm just going about my business and doing the next right thing. And then, you know, it says in the appendix too, it says, you know, often that this change, other people notice it before he notices it himself. And that's my experience, is that something changes and without my noticing it, because that's how God works, is that God is just going to, you know, God is going to relieve it when I'm focused on something else, because God is doing it, I'm not doing it. When I'm obsessively trying to change it, then I'm just so focused on it. So that's been my experience with character defects, with food compulsion, that I just get busy and I let God do it. And it really inspires this great amount of humility. Like and that to me is very attractive, when I see someone not saying, this is what I did, you got to have what I have. But they just offer it, and the result is self-evident. And I love that, a quote from the OA 12 and 12 that talks about, you know, we don't just carry the message, we are the message. Every day we live well, we are well, and we embody the joy of recovery. So thank you for letting me share, and I will pass.
And thank you, Freya H. And Carrie S., you're followed up by Eileen M. Carrie?
Thank you so much, Sherry. This is Carrie S., recovered in Golden, Colorado. And thank you, God, for my abstinence today. A simple religious idea and a practical program of action. This reading reminds me of years ago when I first started listening to A Vision for You, and I was deep in my disease practicing. The voices, for some reason at that time, it sounded like you guys were ranting, and it sounded to me, to some degree, that there was a bit of dishonesty. I'm like, how are these people so recovered? And yet, as I got cleaner and clearer with my food and got more abstinence and out of the fog, there was that, then the voices started to sound more approachable, and people started to resonate, and I started listening more. And now today, as a recovered woman, I can say that the practical program of action for me is to be a witness of my own actions and have the courage to change, so I stay awake and aware and alert for that still quiet voice inside me that I know is my higher power that is guiding me on this pathway. And I'm just so grateful that this reading talks about how 2 months ago. And so for me, I heard on the lines that, yes, my disease is progressive, and I know that cycle. I can see myself spiraling down the toilet. Yet, on the other end, my recovery is just as progressive. It can swing upwards. I can be more connected to my higher power and my conscious contact if I'm taking these steps, if I'm living this daily design. And that my 11th step at night has been so rewarding, to look at my day, to consider the actions that I've taken. What could I have done better? Who did I help? What is it that I'm doing in my program every day? And so I'm just grateful to be of service today, to show up and to suit up. If you're still in the food, this recovery program is just as progressive, and it says right here in this reading 2 months ago, and it is self-evident. So thank you so much for everybody being here. With that, I pass.
And thank you, Carrie S. and Eileen M. You're up, followed by Kathy Jo P. Eileen?
Good morning. This is Eileen M., gratefully recovered in New Hampshire. And thank you, Sherry, for your service. I'm also looking at the word rant, and as people have said before, people have commented on this word, and so Evie was, he wasn't scolding Bill. I mean, here's Bill pushing a drink across the table, and he wasn't scolding him about that. He just met him where he was, and that's like what my higher power does. My higher power meets me where I am, and I love that. All Evie did was he just presented his experience to Bill, and he was a power of example. And, Evie was clearly, I mean, the way I read it is he was clearly demonstrating attraction rather than promotion. You know, he wasn't promoting anything. I did look up the word rant while we were on the phone. It says to scold violently. it was just Bill just simply asked him what was going on. He said, well, they pushed a drink across the table. He didn't accept it. So, that's just what I wanted to share. And thanks so much, everybody. I pass.
Thank you, Eileen M. And before we hear from Kathy Jo P., I'm just going to remind everybody where we're at. We're in Bill's story, chapter 1, page 9, and it's on paragraph 6. But he did no ranting, and we're reading that one paragraph only, and it ends in, it worked. So, Kathy Jo P., you're up.
Hello, this is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. Mm-hmm. I was in the rooms in the 80s, and I left for 22 years. Mm-hmm. And during my time out, thank God, I ran into fellows mm-hmm. that stayed in the rooms, that were living in the sunlight of the spirit at a healthy body weight. But when I saw them, No, they did not rant to me, even though I was up to 303 pounds. And one of them I ran into at a co-op one day. And I laugh when I tell my story, but I had, you know, organic Oreos and organic Cheetos in my basket. And she stood there with her chicken breast and her bell pepper and her apple in line. And I asked her, "Do you still not eat sugar?" And she said, "No, I don't, a day at a time." And she was very kind and very firm in her posture of where she was at. And it was attractive to me. And I walked away. And 5 years later, I came back and I asked her to be my sponsor here in Minnesota. And she is still a sponsor to me. And she has 38 years of abstinence. And she has stayed at the same body weight the whole entire time I have known her. And when I came back to the rooms, I thought about the friendly hands that reached out. And she was for sure one of them. And she showed what I wanted so badly, the peace and the service and the discipline of the commitment to this program. And on Sunday, I went to a birthday party for another fellow for her 80th birthday party who is 40 years abstinent. And again, these people are people that show up, be of service, and of love to me. And I am so grateful. And one other thing I want to add real quick is when I think about ranting, I used to be a ranter that would show up at people's houses for dinner and make a scene in order to get my abstinent meal. And God has helped me to show up, bring what I need, be of service, and not make it all about the food. And that's a miracle. I'm more welcome at tables now. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Kathy Jo P. And so now we are, I'm going to take some more names. And again, we're on page 9, the 6th paragraph, but he did no ranting. Reading that one paragraph only, ending in, "It worked." Who would like to share?
John K.
John K.
Patty T.
Patty T.
Ron G.
I'm sorry,
Robin
I heard a man.
Ron G.
Ron G.
Robin
P. Was that Robin Joe P?
Robin P.
Robin B.
P as in Peter.
He is in Peter. Thank you, Robin. And
you.
I can take a couple of more names.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Okay. And two more. Who else? Who else would like to share? We've got some. I heard somebody in the background.
Hi there, Nicole M.
Nicole F. You sound far away, Nicole.
M as in Mary.
M as in Mary. Okay, if you're on speaker, could you get off the speaker, please? That would be great if you could, because we can hear you better. Thanks, Nicole. M as in Mary. And we can take one more. Okay, well, we'll just go ahead and get started. John K., could you please get us started again? John? Are you there, John? Star 1 to unmute, please.
I'm sorry, I thought I did it, but anyway.
We can hear you.
I know, we are prisoners of our technology. I'm John Kiernan, recovered compulsive eater from Los Angeles. I really love that he did no ranting. You know, I'm working on a thing for a special edition person who did a commentary, and he brings up one of the best points. He's, you know, there's a lot about AA that existed before in various forms, but the thing that made AA unique was how it was peer-to-peer. And he points out, you know, most alcoholics or, you know, anything, have people tell them, oh, you know, this is what you should do. This is what you need to do. You know, and we've all had that. But what is unspoken in that kind of thing is that those people don't do what you're doing, and they're trying to help bring you up to their level. Whereas here, it's us helping us. There is no, you know, there is no hierarchy. There is no, you know, you don't move up the ladder here. You know, somebody with 40 years of abstinence has the exact same amount of work to do to stay abstinent as somebody in their second day. I always joke. I said, we're all like people climbing up the outside of the Empire State Building, you know. So if I'm on the 23rd floor and you're on the first floor, you know, we're all still just one let go away, you know, and the higher up you are, the bigger the splat. And so the concept of that is just so important that it isn't anybody saying, here is what you should do. It is, hey, here's what I did. You know, you want to do it, fine. You don't want to do it, fine. Because one of our hallmarks is being oppositional people. And if I'm told when I get to the end of the block to take a left, I'm going to take a right. You know, even if it's off a cliff, I'm going to take a right. And the other thing I just want to say before I go is he talked about a simple religious idea and a program of action. Now, we've changed that since then, you know, more to be spiritual. You know, in other words, you can see the Oxford group, and then later you can see how it had to be sort of molded a little to work. And the idea of talking about spirituality versus religion. And I love the thing that we'll talk about in a minute about how even his family had contempt for religious people, not because they had any problem with the underpinnings and this thing, but it was about other people telling them what they should think. And that's what I was told when I came in. Nobody will ever make you believe anything. Nobody will ever tell you what you have to believe. The one thing they said is, if you could just please keep an open mind to this, throw out the stuff you learned. You had a hand-me-down religion. Let's work on a new thing that you can develop and bring from the ground up, and it'll be a higher power that'll help you with your problem. Anyway, thanks for letting me share.
And thank you, John. And Patty T., you're up, followed by Ron G. Patty?
Hi. Yes, good morning, everybody. Thank you, Sherry. Thank everybody for their shares this morning. I too want to look at that line they had told of a simple religious idea and a practical program of action. You know, it doesn't say that they had ranted about a simple religious idea. They had simply told their experience. You know, they had told of a religious idea. And you know, from where Bill was at that moment, everyone could understand the concept of religion. We still can. We can understand the concept of religion, whether or not we want to be a part of that or not, right? And then, you know, over time, that idea of a religious idea became a spiritual idea. And then it says, but it says, and a practical program of action. And for me, you know, reading this text, going forward, I'll learn more specifically what both of those things are. But to start, you know, at this point, all I have to do is be willing to listen and to be willing to put down something, right? Just to put down that thing that triggers me, whether it's the cakes, candies, cookies, and pies, or, you know, just for today. That's all I need. That's the action. Putting down is the action. Listening, willing to listen, and to put down. Thanks. I'll pass.
And thank you, Patty T. Ron G., you're up, followed by Robin P. Ron? Ron, star one to unmute, please. Ron G.? Okay, Ron.
Hi, I'm sorry. This is Ron G., compulsive overeater.
Go ahead, Ron. Thank you.
Thank you. What really jumps out at me in this paragraph was persuading the judge to suspend his commitment. You know, I'm only sober less or absent less than 2 weeks, but, you know, I was in my active addiction, I was committed to my bed with junk food, with my drugstore being a supermarket just a half mile down the road from me. And what a horrible existence that was, that commitment. The idea of the simple religious idea and practical program that got me out, showered, out and about, here studying these principles. What an amazing difference this program and God is making in my life. And the idea of the last sentence, it worked. I know from experience, I had great abstinence in the past, and I know that, love that saying that nothing tastes as good as abstinence feels, and I'm just starting to get a bit of that right now. Thanks so much for being here, and let me share.
And thank you, Ron G. Robin P., you're followed up by Jordan L. Robin?
Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida, and thanks so much for your service. I love that it says, that this is a practical program of action, a simple religious idea and a practical program of action. It's not woo-woo. It's not, if you stand on your head, do this pose. It's just literally do the next right thing and follow these simple steps and working through the steps with a sponsor, sponsoring other people, being on calls, going to any lengths, reaching out to people instead of the food, and then living in 10, 11, and 12 today. When I'm selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, resentful, or fearful, I have a solution today. I get to text you my sponsor, give it to God, and go help someone else. And to me, it's practical. And I'm so grateful because I needed practical. I needed, just saying no to the food never worked for me. I needed to be able to say yes to something else. And that's the program for me, and I'm so grateful. Thanks so much for letting me share. God bless everybody in your recoveries I pass.
And thank you, Robin. And Jordan L., you're followed up by Nicole M., and I think we're going to have time for more shares. So, Jordan, please go ahead. Jordan, star 1 to unmute, please. Jordan? Kenny, star 1? Tell you what, let's go ahead and have Nicole M., and we'll get Jordan back on. Nicole M., can you share with us today, please?
Hi there. It's Nicole M. here. One of the things, I've been in and out of the program for years, and I'm just back. And one of the things that really stood out for me was just what Robin had just said about the practical program, the action, and I think that the action piece is something that I get complacent with as I sort of, initially I'm really diligent and I'm doing all the work that I need to do. And the program only works if I do the work. And that I can't become complacent with it, and that I have to show up for meetings and I have to study the big book and I have to bring it into my life on a daily basis in action. And not in passivity and not just count on the fact that, I've done the work and it'll be okay. It's I do the work and then I do the work and I do the work. And by doing the work, I get my abstinence. So grateful to be here. Thanks.
Thank you, Nicole. And so we do have Jordan L. Are you back on the line? Jordan? Okay, we actually have time for about at least three more people who would like to share.
Dawn B.
Dawn B.
Kim A.
Did you say Jen A? Or?
Kim, K-I-M.
Kim A.
And Mags C.
Mags C.
Yep.
All right, Dawn B, you're up, followed by Kim A. Dawn?
Yeah, hi, this is Dawn B., recovered in Southern California, and I really enjoyed this paragraph this morning, starting out with, but he did no ranting, And to me, that is just an example of what this program did for me and can do for people, is that it's like a paradigm shift. It takes me from me being in charge, me doing a lot of ranting because I'm trying to play the higher power. I'm trying to force my will in my life and in other people's lives. So I do a lot of ranting. But here, Ebby is demonstrating that he has now received that transformation that takes place, the spiritual transformation that takes me from the place, the self-centered one, trying to play the higher power, to now the higher power is in charge. And this program teaches us that we're no longer running the show. And so there's no need to do any ranting because we're no longer trying to force our will and play the higher power. And now we focus on thy will be done. And God, please give me the right thought or the action. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. And it's a beautiful thing, and it takes place very quickly. Ebby says, you know, in 2 months ago, the result was self-evident. It worked. It is a dramatic change, and it can happen very quickly when we work the steps. We put the food down. We identify our alcoholic foods and behaviors. We put those down, and then we work the steps as if our hair is on fire. And for me, that's exactly what I did, and it is an amazing change. It is a life-changing transformation that happens. And it's a beautiful thing now for me to get up in the morning and to ask, the first thing that I think of is, God, please direct my thinking. I'm no longer running the show. It's no longer me trying to force my will and think I know what's best, what needs to happen next. I have no idea what needs to happen next, not for me and not for anyone else. So I no longer have to fill my days with trying to play the higher power and force situations to go the way that I think they need to go. I can relax. I can ask for my higher power's will. I can ask to be made aware of how I can best serve my fellows. And it's so relaxing to not have to be trying to run the show anymore. And for the newcomers out there, I just encourage you to put down the food, get a sponsor, work these steps like your hair is on fire, and it will totally transform your life in ways that you just can't possibly begin to imagine. And that's what it's been for me. And I'm so very grateful. I'm grateful for everyone's service and everyone this morning. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Don B. And Tim A., you're up, followed by Mags C. Tim?
Hi, this is Kim A., calling from New York. And for such a short paragraph, there have been so many wonderful shares on it, and I'm not sure if I have anything to add that has not been said already, but I wanted to just, you know, share and do some service and have, I don't know, take my place here. A lot of people are focusing in on the word ranting, and I'm going to also, because I know that if I'm not working my steps, if I am not spiritually fit, if I am not in tune with my higher power's will, and all of these things happen when I'm in the food, which I am right now, then I'm a ranter. I am a ranter by nature. I'm a ranter because I think I feel the need to be loud, because I need to bully you into seeing things my way, because I need to force my opinion on you, and I just absolutely must convince you that I am, I guess, your higher power, which I know that I am not. And when the food is down and when I'm working my steps like my hair is on fire, I understand that you have a higher power and it's not me. And I'm so much more available to be in tune with what my higher power is telling me. And that's exactly where Ebby was at. And Bill was desperate enough that he was willing to hear whatever this gentleman wanted to tell him. You know, and a little bit later on, it says that he was shocked but interested, and he had to be interested because he was hopeless. And when we get to that spot where we are hopeless enough to be willing to stop ranting and listening, then we're probably in the best spot we've ever been. Because, you know, as the saying goes, there's a reason that we have two ears and only one mouth. I might have heard that on Judge Judy, I'm not sure. But it's true. So if I can shut my stupid mouth long enough to just listen and be still and to hear other people's stories and to have the opportunity to be attracted to what they have to offer, then I'm ready. Then I'm ready to work the steps like my hair is on fire. So thanks, everybody, for your service and your shares, and thanks for letting me share. I pass.
And thank you, Kim A. Mag C., you're up, and I think we'll have time for one more, unless Jordan L. got back on the line. Mags?
Hi, everybody. This is Mags, compulsive overeater from Colorado. And last week was getting so familiar, just the depressing aspect of this disease. But I'm thankful for that reminder from the big book and Bill's story, because I can remember how it was and how it can be. And I think that's what this paragraph really, really spoke to me today. I mean, I came in at my bottom, which was a suicide attempt, and I stayed because I found a way to diet in a group. I found that that program of action that I really needed to focus my obsessive mind upon. And, you know, what was so great about this paragraph is, like, he did no ranting. It was a simple religious idea plus this practical program of action. So I came for the practical program of action. But it was what I stayed for, and that was Ebby living it. He sat right before me, and the result was self-evident. A changed man, right? And I wanted nothing to do with spiritual or religious, and I had had my fill of authority figures. I actually feared authority figures when I came into this, even though I was one. And I just wanted something to do that could take the crazy away. And I understood at that point in time that I could not do it alone, otherwise I'd end up, you know, 6 feet under. And I couldn't afford to keep paying Jenny Craig or Weight Watchers. But because of those programs, I realized that eating three meals a day, you know, I could feel better and stay thin and not binge and purge or starve. And so I think, you know, I do thank the universe for those programs, but it's in this 12-step program that I had a huge awakening. And all of my great crutches over these past 16 years have toppled over and been taken away, whether or not it was my health, my job, money. It was a spiritual aspect of this program that kept coming and actually saving me. And thank God it's spiritual, not religious. And it became the center of my program, was to basically find out what I could do this day that could get me out of my own head to help somebody else find the way in this program, make it through the fog. And so last year was a great year of grief and loss when I was declared physically disabled, had vertigo for 6 months, blah, blah, blah. All those things have lifted now. And I can see again that my problem is not the calories, not my appearance or how thin I am. It's not what the scale says, but it's how I feel about who I am, how I can serve. Thank you. And the peacefulness and joy that I can get out of life when I have calm around the food. And so I thank this program for with my entire being. Thanks. That's all I got.
And thank you, Maxie. And we have time for one more, about two minutes here. Who would like to share for 2 minutes?
Jerry,
Janice,
can you hear me?
Janice, go ahead, please.
Well, thank you. Thank you kindly. And, you know, please time me because I just want to do 2 minutes. Yeah, you know, what stuck out for me, of course, is, you know, 2 months ago, that was 2 months ago. So he must have embarked on the simple religious idea, which was spiritual, and the practical program at that time was only 6 steps. But 2 months ago in the result, that's what I want to talk about, the result. Yeah, I was abstinent many, many, many times for a long time. And then what happened? The obsession of the mind brought me back to the food, because I knew I was powerless from Dr. Silkworth, and Abby showed Bill that, these two things. He brought him the solution, and he brought him the action plan, which are the three things. But you see, he, my train of thought, for 2 months, he had the obsession removed, because my main problem is powerless. And that's the result I've always been looking for, that I could keep this without going back and back and back and back to my trigger foods. So it did work, and that's the big thing, that it worked, and I'm happy, and it worked. And if it worked for him with those three ideas that we have to have, that we do have the allergy, we do have the obsession, I'm powerless, I need a power because I can't do it myself, and I find that in the plan of action, and for one day at a time, I don't have the obsession, and I stayed stopped. And that's what happened here. And with that, I'm going to pass. Okay, thank you.
And thank you, Janice PM. Well, that's all the time we have today for sharing. Thank you all for your shares today, and for all of you who were able to get on the line this morning. So glad you're here. So now we will close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Wendy B., please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only, ending in Keep You Until Then. Wendy? Are you there, Wendy? Can you star one to unmute, please?
Yeah, hi, this is Wendy B. I think I was the first text reader. It might be somebody else, but I can read it if you want.
Oh, I'm sorry, Wendy. I'm sorry about that. Sorry, Eileen.
Oh,
Eileen.
Sure, it's Eileen.
Sorry about that, folks.
Hi.
Thanks,
no
Eileen.
Problem. This is Eileen M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.